discussion episode. Favorite zombie movies without any of the obvious choices. Or favorite underappreciated zombie movies, whatever you want to call it. In a time of crisis, a hero must rise from his sofa. I am Dave, joined by my co-host, Ryan.
By your underappreciated co-host?
Overrated co-host?
No, these are all underrated.
Oh, okay, okay. So my co-host, Ryan, we are Movies On Up. The tagline this week, in a time of crisis, a hero must rise from his sofa. If you know what movie that is from, email us, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, @moviesonup. If you are right and we pick you, you will win this prize package from this week, which may include a zombie movie or two. This list is a little confusing. We wanted to do favorite zombie movies, but that'd be easy. Dawn of the Dead, Night of the Living Dead,
blah, blah,
Shaun
blah.
Of the Dead, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. So we wanted to go just kind of underappreciated, underrated, whatever. Just movies.
Maybe ones that we haven't talked about yet.
Yeah, zombie movies that we haven't talked about a ton. I know I dug a little deeper because I had a bunch come to the top of my head. That's like I want to go a little deeper than that maybe. A couple of them I've mentioned in the past, so I kind of put them as also-rans. But how easy was this list for you?
I feel like most of these I may have mentioned at least one time, and it was probably just in passing, maybe like a, hey, watch this, or if you like, then you might also like. And I thought that this might be a good chance to talk a little more in detail about them. So I think there were at least three that were on my list, came to mind pretty early on in the process. So I really didn't have to do a lot of digging to find other ones. But there again, it's the idea of what is, you know, underrated or underappreciated or under the radar, so to speak. Just because it's under the radar for us, it may be your favorite. And you think, well, what the hell? It's how can you think that, you know, movie X is under the radar? I love that movie. It's, you know, I've seen it 100 times. Like you said, I think it works best. It's nothing from Romero and some of the other more popular zombie fare of the time.
That's how we got to our list. So let's get to the list now. Ryan, you're number 5, underappreciated, underrated, favorite zombie movie that's not one of the obvious ones.
This one, I don't think it's obvious, and it may not even be a good movie. I just happen to like it, and I'm not really sure why. I don't know that I can really justify it, but it is from 1984, directed by Tom E. Eberhardt, Night of the Comet, starring Catherine Mary Stewart, Kelly Maroney, and Robert Beltran. Like I said, this may not be an outstanding movie, but I like it. In the 80s, there was the Halley's Comet that was coming back around. That was kind of a big deal. This movie is about a comet that comes very, very close to the Earth, and everyone has parties. They all go out to watch this comet pass by. Basically, everybody stops their life to do so. The problem with that is when people stop their lives to watch this comet, they essentially stop their lives. They either turn into piles of ash, or they turn into alien kind of zombie critters. Except for some of our main characters who, for whatever reason, found themselves not able to watch the comet if they were making love in a movie theater or doing whatever else they were doing. They managed to stay safe. And then it becomes kind of part Omega Man in like this empty city, empty except for some monsters rolling around. And Clueless, because like our main characters were definitely Valley Girls, and that was played up quite a bit. And I don't think I had any alien zombies on my list at any other point. So I did want to make sure that subset was represented. And again, I like all of my other movies more than this. This just kind of has like a soft spot in my heart. I guess seeing like this girl in a cheerleading outfit run around with like an Uzi shooting at alien zombies. I don't know. I thought it was fun.
This one popped up on my radar, but I left it off for a couple reasons. Mainly, I knew it would be on yours, whether you put it on your list or not. And I feel like we've talked about it a couple times at least, maybe just in passing. But I can't argue this. It's a fun movie. Yeah, it's an 80s movie. Like it's the definition of when you think of an 80s movie, this is what you think of. You don't think of the great ones, the great 80s movies. You think of movies like this, and it is fun. And I don't know how many people that didn't grow up during that time have went back to watch it. Maybe it does. I haven't watched it in a long time. Maybe it doesn't hold up, but that's definitely a fun choice. My number five, a little bit newer than that. It's from 2010. It is from Across the Pond, a British. It's a zombie movie in the same way 28 Days Later is a zombie movie. They're not your traditional zombies. They're not the Rise from the Dead zombies. It is Devil's Playground, starring a bunch of my favorite like British actors, Craig Fairbrass, Danny Dyer, who we'll hear a lot from next week. Myanna Burring and Jamie Murray are the core of the cast. Instead of the dead coming back from the living, it is a super soldier serum, essentially, that causes this zombie outbreak. And when you get bit, you become one of the super soldier zombies. So, yeah, there's zombies may parkour in this movie. Like, I'll be upfront with it. There may be some parkour zombies. On its surface, it's not a great movie, but I think it's worth a watch. I think it's enough fun. I think Fairbrass and Dyer, and Burring especially, I think they're really good. But what it does well is it's the epitome of why there aren't a lot of American movies on either of our lists. Because of not just zombies in general, but what British horror movies do better. And not just British, overseas horror movies do better.
Character development.
Yeah, character development. Like, there's more of a storyline. It's not just surviving. And the biggest thing they do is the deaths matter. It's not just, oh, no, that guy that's been my best friend since fifth grade is dead. Let's move on. Like, the deaths actually affect characters. There's actual heroic movements, there's actual sacrifices made. There's, you don't know who's gonna survive the whole way. It's not cut and dry, and there's some really cool stuff. I mean, on its surface, it's a bad zombie movie with parkour zombies, but if you look at it a little deeper, it does have a lot of good stuff in there. Like I said, the deaths are good. The end game I like a lot, so I won't claim it as a great movie, but I think it's worth a watch, and I do enjoy it. It was on the other night, and I recorded it so I could rewatch it, just because I like it enough. It's a fun watch, but it's not an all-time classic, but it's definitely worth watching if you like parkour zombies.
My number four is the newest movie on my list, and it's the one that I have not seen the most recently. I guess it's been the longest since I've seen this movie. And I'm just going to go ahead and mangle all the names now, because it's a Greek movie and my stupid American tongue can't pronounce Greek names. It was directed by Yorgos Nousiasis, starring Miletus Georgiadis, Argyrius Thansoulas, and Pepe Mosha, whatever. The movie is called Evil. It's from 2005. Admittedly, I haven't seen that many Greek movies in my life. Period, be they horror, drama, comedy, whatever. So my expectations were kind of low on this. Like I said, I haven't seen it in a couple years, but the fact that I still remember watching it and liking it, I think speaks volumes of just how good it really was. There's quite a bit of humor in there, and the gore is a lot better than I had expected. I know there wasn't a tremendous budget assigned to this movie, and again, not being very familiar with the Greek horror scene, I wasn't really sure what to expect from, you know, a genre that can be very splatty. You've got, you know, corpses running around eating live people. That tends to put a certain amount of blood on the street. The thing that I love most about this movie is that the people that made it did seem to be very much fans of the zombie movie genre, and they put in the things that, you know, we all love about zombie movies, and that's not just, you know, gory kills, but they're fun, they're creative, they're maybe a little bit over the top, maybe a little bit light, but that was kind of the tone of the movie. Lots of zombies, lots of kind of running through the streets of Athens, which I thought was kind of a cool setting for a horror movie. Again, you know, maybe it's just because I haven't seen very many movies set in Greece. I thought this was pretty cool. I mean, the zombie outbreak starts from this ancient cave that construction workers were messing around with, and it just kind of spews forth from there. So, you know, you go from a place that you could see, you know, like the ancient Greeks running around in, to a city that they did run around in and is now very much a modern city. in Athens, and I thought it was very fun, very entertaining. And I think I just happened to see it walking down the aisles at a Best Buy. It was when I had more money than brains and just bought it, thinking, what the hell? And I was really kind of pleased with it. I ended up lending it out to someone that I never got it back from, but that's okay, because you know somebody else got to see this movie that probably wouldn't have otherwise. So you guys, I would give you all copies of the movie that you could steal from me, but it's already gone. Evil, 2005.
My number four, also from across the pond again. This one I felt good pulling it out because I think it's a pretty good pull. Doesn't come up a lot. It is from 2004. A French film called Les Revenants that translates to They Came Back. It's a different zombie movie. It's about the undead more than zombie. It's not your zombies that are running out, eating brains, hunting people down. This is just basically all the dead people rise from their graves and go home. It's not really a horror movie. I wouldn't even call it a horror movie. It's just, how do you react if your mom shows up after you've moved on from her death? There's an awesome scene, an aerial shot of all these people that have just climbed up from the grave, just walking down the street to go home. Again, it's not a horror movie, but they're not your zombies that are craving human flesh, but they are the undead, which essentially that's what a zombie is somebody that's come back from the dead. So it's just a really unique take on it. And it is very dramatic. It is a good drama. It's just so unique and an interesting take because what do you do if your dead loved ones come back? It deals with that a lot. So it's a human story and an undead story and just a really unique take on a genre.
That is a good point because it's not, you know, all of mine, for the most part, I mean, the closest I come to something like that is, you know, I'll talk about later, people that rise from their grave. And it's not necessarily a movie just about, you know, killing zombies or killing the undead. There's more behind it, you know, in yours, whereas most of my lists are about zombies and people trying not to get eaten. Definitely in my number three. And I feel like this one might be the closest I come to breaking our rule about being underappreciated or under the radar. Because I feel like people that are really familiar with the genre probably know this one and like it a lot. I feel like it's got a really cult following. But I didn't want to leave this one off just because I think there are so many movies that have been sequels, sort of this, and sequels of the movie that this not necessarily parodies, but sort of pokes some fun at. It's Dan O'Bannon's 1985's Return of the Living Dead, starring Clu Granger, James Caan, and Don Calfa. This is one of the ones, we talked about our Carrie episode, and you know they're all going to laugh at you. People know that line, but they don't know where it came from. One of the things that, in the zombie genre, brains, like everybody knows that, but really where did that come from? Night of the Living Dead, they didn't eat brains, they just ate people. They ate brains in Return of the Living Dead. And if you've ever seen the movie, as soon as I say brains, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's the tar zombie. It's very much a story that takes place in Romero's world. And those movies, you know, everybody knows about. And obviously they would have been kind of disqualified from this conversation. But it's a movie that doesn't necessarily take that world all too seriously. The zombies in this one move pretty good for being dead guys. In the Romero movies, they're just kind of lumbering along. I think it's very tongue-in-cheek. It knows that it's sort of campy, and it knows that it sort of has a black, almost dry sense of humor. One of the scenes that comes to mind most is when the cops show up and the zombies start eating the cops, and they get on like the CB and say,
bring more paramedics.
Like, bring more cops. Yeah, it's great. You would never see that in a Romero movie because that's kind of like the serious zombie movie, so to speak. And this, while it's not a parody of Night of the Living Dead, it kind of makes light of most of what Night of the Living Dead stands for, but manages to be a pretty good flick on its own, which if, like I said, it's not necessarily a parody, but I think if you're going to try and parody something like Night of the Living Dead, you could easily put up a bomb. But this one, they didn't. I think it's very, very good, but very good in a different way. So I thought I could maybe wedge it onto my list like that.
I think that's fair, because I feel like Return of the Living Dead Part 2 probably gets mentioned more. I think that one's so popular, especially I think that one translated to the non-genre fans more. So I think more people are familiar with Part 2 than that one. So I'll let that one slide. My number 3, the only American one in my top 5. We talked about Night of the Comet being an 80s movie. This is the epitome of an 80s movie, except it was supposed to be a big budget hit. It was released, it got a wide release, was supposed to be huge. Total bomb. At the time, terrible movie. If you look back on it now, it did everything it wanted to do. It is 1988's Dead Heat, starring Treat Williams and Joe Piscopo. Basically came out again this year, titled RIPD, just about two cops brought back from the dead to chase down supernatural.
It's Men in Black, but with ghosts.
Yes.
Or zombies.
They're not undead. Yeah, they're not necessarily like, again, not a traditional zombie movie, but they are dealing with the undead. They're undead themselves. It's campy. It's ridiculous. It's silly. It knows it. And I don't think at the time people realized that. Like, I think it was positioned as, you know, a big-time blockbuster and just didn't land. Like, it was a May release in 1988, so it was positioned to be, you know, a Joe Piscopo, Treat Williams star-making movie, and it just fell flat. It was written by Terry Black, brother of Shane Black. Goofy, fun, stupid, that if you look back on now, they get it, and it's just a fun, entertaining watch.
Maybe it's the sense of irony that's only over the past maybe 10 to 15 years kind of come into vogue that has allowed the concept of camp to be something that movies can do on purpose and be good. It's always existed, but I think that moviegoers wouldn't look at a movie, you know, like that and say, oh, I understand what they're doing here. They would just say, this is stupid. They made a dumb movie. Well, yes,
they did,
but they knew they were doing that. Yeah, like I said, maybe it's just our hipster youth sense of irony, but we can appreciate camp. And maybe we just assign that to movies like this.
And
I don't think so.
No.
But
and like, I mean, it had a cameo from Vincent Price, Darren McGavin, the dad from Christmas Story. So, I mean, I just feel like this movie and something like They Live are kind of in the same. Like, there's no reason They Live should have been good, but it was. It embraced what it was. And it's found its audience now. It's still a popular movie. I mean, it was a bomb then. It's popular now. I feel like Dead Heat could be that same thing. Like, it feels like a cult movie that just the cult audience hasn't really embraced yet.
I was with everything you said up until the point that you started comparing it to one of my favorite movies of all time. So at that point, I have to pump the brakes.
No, it's in the same vein where it was they knew what they were making that at the time maybe wasn't appreciated. But if you look back on it, you can fully appreciate what they were trying to do and accomplish.
Maybe. It's just hard for me with that specific, because I love They Live. I don't think it's campy at all. I think it's just brilliant.
I like Dead Heat.
Fair enough. I like my number 2, which is a movie from a director who I talk about a lot. He's an Italian fella. I'll probably talk about him next week, too, so stay tuned. This is not his best movie. I guess there can be an argument. Some of you may think his best movie will make a guest appearance at the end of the episode this week, and the rest of you will talk about it next week. But for a zombie movie, an undead movie, Lucio Fulci is a guy that can get that done. So I picked 1980's City of the Living Dead, starring Christopher George and Katerina McCall. Now, stop me if you've heard this one from a Fulci movie. A couple folks spend the entire movie trying to literally stop the gates of hell from opening and the dead from spewing onto the earth. Spoiler alert, that's what happens next week. So stick around for more of the gates of hell opening up. Fulci knows how to make a creepy horror movie. And he has some things that he kind of does all the time that maybe it's his signature. Lots of folks get their brains ripped out in this. Of course, in a Fulci movie, somebody's got to have some kind of eye trauma. So you get that. And you get maggots. That's kind of another one of his signatures. In this one, I believe maggots rain from the sky, which is kind of creepy, kind of uncomfortable. It is very intense, which is very much Fulci style. It's not a lot of fun, but it'll leave you with some pretty graphic images, which again is kind of his calling card. One of my favorite directors, just because he is so visual, and he will make you take notice of the things that he puts on the screen. You'll feel uncomfortable, you'll squirm, you'll feel like you need a shower, and you'll probably be pretty terrified.
You can't argue with Fulci.
You can try.
I don't think he can succeed.
He's got the skills.
Yeah. My number two, a little bit more recent, it is from 2010, directed by the Ford brothers, actually has a sequel that just released in the UK in August of this year. It is The Dead. This is a slow burn. It stars Rob Freeman and Prince David Osea. Basically, in war-torn Africa, Rob Freeman is kind of stranded in the desert during a zombie apocalypse, essentially. Like, a zombie apocalypse breaks out during war. So here he is, you have a Trapped in the Desert movie with zombies thrown in. So he's already trying to fight for survival, and then you throw in zombies. And then you throw in Prince David Osea's character, who is a sergeant from the other side. So these two guys that are at war now are kind of united against one
enemy.
They're
at war against the dead.
Yeah, but I mean, that kind of oversells the movie, because it's not just two guys fighting zombies. It's a lot. It's more character-driven. It's more survival-driven. It's not a lot of fighting zombies, but it uses the landscape of Africa and the desert of Africa. It's shot in parts that have never been seen on film before. So there's a lot of the background, the scenery, the setting is very cool. Just like the second one, they went to India to do it. So they just made a zombie movie in India along the same lines. But it shows a lot from the Ford brothers that they can go out there and make this, okay, zombie outbreak during a wartime. That could be a very action-packed movie, but they had the balls to not make it a very action-packed movie. And I think I've mentioned it before on the show, but it's really good. The performances are fantastic. The direction is very nice. And again, the scenery, it's stuff you haven't seen before. So it is cool. And the relationship between these two characters, it plays out very, it's fun. I wouldn't say fun to watch. It's interesting to watch. And that is 2010's The Dead.
My number one does have a lot of, I guess there's zombie killing. I made an allusion to it earlier. It's folks that rise from their grave, directed by Michel Savary from 1994. Cemetery Man, starring Rupert Everett, Francois Haji Lazario, and Anna Fulci. A lot going on here. Rupert Everett works at this Italian cemetery where, I think it was about a week after bodies get buried, they rise from the dead. And it's Everett's job to re-dead the dead. And he does this for, you know, seemingly years, and I guess he kind of gets bored. It's kind of half a Raimi-esque zombie thrashing movie, and the zombies, again, zombies is not, I guess, the right word. It's the undead, are pretty harmless in this movie for the most part. So it's kind of a lot of Rupert Everett trying to keep himself occupied, interested in what is not a ridiculously hard task to kill these re-deaded folks. But it's also kind of a character study on his character and what he really, you know, wants from life. It's not just to kind of live this isolated existence surrounded by the dead and the undead. It's a bit about him, you know, trying to look for love, but only kind of having access to dead people. So, I mean, that's kind of creepy. And the movie's got plenty of boobs and plenty of blood. But like I said, a bit about actually being alive, which is kind of interesting because it's set in a cemetery and where everything else other than Rupert Everett is dead. I don't really want to spoil the ending, but I think that the ending is, I think it'll leave you sitting there for a little while. It's not necessarily what you would expect from a zombie movie. And again, I probably shouldn't just say that Z word, but all the other movies on my list have pretty straightforward endings that you might have seen coming. This one, I really like the ending. I could see where some people may not, but it is absolutely my favorite of the five that I have on here. And I do feel like it's underrated. Even if, you know, maybe it's people have seen it, maybe I'm the only one banging the drum for it, but I think you should check out Cemetery Man from 1994.
I back that one. That's a good one. In my research, that popped up on a lot of lists. I
for good reason,
off.
I think.
Yeah, no, I left it off. I kind of had a feeling you would have it, but if you didn't, I wasn't against not having it on here. My number one, we're going to go back over to France with 2009's La Horde, which translates to The Horde. I love a crime movie. I absolutely love a good crime movie. So you tell me, okay, there's this group of dirty cops. One of the dirty cops was murdered by this gangster, so the other dirty cops are breaking into his apartment building to hunt him down and kill him. I'm on board with that movie. Then you tell me a zombie outbreak happens while they're doing that. So now you have these cops that want to kill this gangster while battling zombies. I'm into it. Fantastic movie. The zombies were cool. The gore was cool. There's a scene towards the end on top of a car, not to spoil it, that is one of my favorite scenes from any zombie movie ever. I absolutely love the scene, and the movie is worth watching just for that. And it stays a lot like The Dead, where you have enemies fighting together against one.
They didn't start out. I mean, they started out enemies, but then.
Yeah, and then maybe they end up enemies again. Who knows?
Who's to say?
But it's a really good zombie movie that also feels like a crime movie the entire time, because you can't trust anybody. You have a group of dirty cops and then a group of, like, badass gangsters. So you don't really – it's hard to root for anybody, but it just – it's really cool. Again, the scene on top of the car, worth watching just for that. It's a really cool movie, and probably of all the ones on my list, the closest to, like, a traditional zombie movie, where it's just an action movie just as much as it is a horror or a crime movie.
This one I totally forgot about, but I think it's a really good pick, and – action movie is kind of what I was going to say. I mean, there's a lot of action. The car scene, lots of action. And the gore is really good in this, too. It was, I don't really know what I expected going into it. I think this is one of the ones that my girlfriend Netflix was like, you really ought to check this out because you'll probably like it. And I did, and man, was she right. I had forgotten all about it until you started. I really wasn't even paying attention, to be honest with you. I was texting. When you started describing the plot, because I blanked out on the name of it, I was like, oh, God, this is that movie with the car scene. And that's absolutely the first thing that comes to mind. And after you see it, I think you'll know what we're talking about.
Like, this one was, spoiler alert, next week we have an episode that's our favorite foreign horror movies. And it was weird because looking at our list, only one of my top five was American. Of my also-rans, one of them is American. So it's, I could have done a lot. I mean, next week's list could have been all zombie stuff, but I tried to kind of pick and choose. So there might be some other zombie-ish movies that are on next week's. But
yeah, so if we didn't get yours this week, just hang on. It may
if
be
we
coming.
Didn't cover your favorite
underappreciated,
underrated, not obvious choice foreign zombie movie, stay tuned for next week before you yell at us.
If it's an American one, let us have it.
Yeah, but did you have any also-rans? You said you didn't this week?
No, I didn't want to do also-rans just in case I wanted to keep them in my back pocket for next week.
None of these I'll really have next week. One of them I have used on a list before. It was our list on enclosed settings. It is 2008. It's a Canadian movie called Pontypool. It's essentially a movie about a zombie outbreak.
At the radio station.
Without the zombies. It's Stephen McHattie. His performance is worth watching it for. It's just he's a DJ on the night shift as a zombie outbreak happens. So he's taking callers, and you're hearing a lot of what's going on outside, but you never actually get outside. It gets weird towards the end and kind of falls apart, but it's a really interesting watch. Similar to that, 2009's The Revenant, which mixes zombie movie, crime movie, comedy, action. It's really, when you die, you come back to life, and David Anders decides to fight crime with it. So he becomes a zombie vigilante. Really funny, really well done. But the end takes a dark turn and gets away from the comedy, so it kind of falls apart near the end. And then there are two that are similar. From 2007, From Across the Sea over in Britain, and 2011, which it's also another British movie. I thought it was American, but it is not. They are both zombie movies during wartime. It is 2007's Outpost, starring Ray Stevenson, which zombies during World War II. And then Exit Humanity from 2011, which is zombies in Civil War time, directed by John Geddes. Very, very slow moving, very, very slow paced, but still very interesting, driven on the characters, whereas Outpost is more of an action movie, but both just really cool during zombies during wartime. If there's a zombie movie you love that we didn't mention and you feel like nobody talks about, let us know.
Because I'd like to watch it.
Yeah, we'll spit it out. Zombie movies get a bad rap because I didn't even mention like Dead Girl. Dead Girl is one I've talked about a lot that I don't think a ton of people have seen, but it's a really different take on the zombie genre.
Or Fido.
Fido, which I thought I left that off because I swore you were going to use it.
No, you said last week that you were going to put it on your list.
No, I used it as a watch this.
We were talking about Dylan Baker. Did you?
I used it in the Trick or Treat episode. Yes. One of my Watch This.
Oh, that was one of your Watch Thises?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were teasing that it might be on this list as well.
Or even something like Colin, which is told from the zombie perspective. Like, zombie movies get a bad rap for all being the same, but if you look at our lists, and even the also-rans, very few of those are what the stereotypical zombie movie is. Like, there's a lot of different ways. Even Warm Bodies was a different take.
That one I thought about putting on the list, but because it was, you know,
it's
still,
so new.
Yeah.
And it was a relative hit. Like, it was fairly popular.
It should have been. It was a good movie.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's a lot you can do with zombie movies, and it's cool to see good stuff being done with zombies. Few of it is done here in the States, sadly. But if we missed one, let us know. MoviesOnUp.com, MoviesOnUp@gmail.com, Twitter @MoviesOnUp, Facebook.com/MoviesOnUp. Before we get out of here, it is Halloween year or month.
Halloween year.
So we've been trying to give a few horror movies each episode for you to watch in all 10 of our Halloween episodes. So, Ryan, give them two more horror movies to check out.
This one, I guess the original title makes you think that it is a sequel, but it really isn't. It's a Lucio Fulci movie. It's Zombie, originally titled Zombie 2 because it was kind of a sequel to Romero's Dawn of the Dead, which Fulci did a cut of. It's weird. It's very incestuous. But this is kind of the maybe granddaddy of all the foreign zombie movies. It's definitely not, I don't think, underrated or underseen or underappreciated, which is why it can't show up on my list. And it's not my favorite Fulci movie, so it's not going to show up on my next week's list either. But I think that most people are familiar with, at the very least, the DVD art, because it's that really decomposed-looking zombie has become sort of an icon for the genre. And there's a zombie that fights a shark, and that's pretty rad. My second one is a movie that I've talked about a lot. I love it. It is from 1986. I like Slither a lot. And perhaps one of the reasons that I like Slither is because I love Night of the Creeps. We sort of talked about this when we did
our Halloween. It's a very, very throwback to Night of the Creeps.
Yeah. Actually, I guess we will talk about this when we do our Halloween 3 episode because Night of the Creeps, of course, stars Tom Atkins, as does Halloween 3, written and directed by Fred Dekker, which should be enough for any horror file. But I love this movie. It's got a perfect amount of horror. Again, there's enough character development that when some things happen,
it keeps you interested.
Yeah.
Rooker's great, Fillion's great, Elizabeth Banks.
Slither,
movie.
Yes. I was thinking more Night of the Creeps.
Oh, okay.
But because that's the one that I really like. But you're right, Michael Rooker's great, Elizabeth Banks is good, Nathan Fillion's awesome.
I was
none of those people appear in Night of the Creeps.
I was reminiscing about Slither because I thought that was a good watch this.
They're
too.
Both very similar. I mean, they're both alien slugs that turn people into zombies. I mean, check them both out, but I think Slither being more recent, I feel like maybe people, hopefully nobody that I know of has missed 1986's Night of the Creeps.
And we talked about Slither a lot during last year's Halloween episodes. Sure. And I want to go back for a second before I go on to mine about if we missed your favorite underappreciated zombie movie, let us know. If that movie is Automaton Transfusion or whatever it's called, don't bother telling us. I hate that movie. That pops up. That's going to pop up anytime you talk about underrated zombie movies. I think it's underrated for a reason because it's not good. So if that's what you want to send us, you could skip it. My two watch thises, I wouldn't call them underappreciated because they're not necessarily good. But since this is a zombie movie episode, if you like your stereotypical zombie movies that are just people fighting zombies and they're not really offering a lot to the genre, not that that's a bad thing. 2009's Last of the Living, pretty standard zombie movie. A little different. It's a British one. And then 2008's, I had high hopes for it and just wasn't nuts about it. Dance of the Dead. It's got its good parts. It's got its not so good parts. But that's the two that I would suggest for this week. Next week, our last Halloween episodes. And not just our last two Halloween episodes, three episodes next week. We'll be spitting out our Halloween 3 episode that we've mentioned a couple times. Our favorite Nightmare on Elm Street movies. So if you have a list of your favorite Nightmare on Elm Street movies, send them to us. And also our favorite...
We'll have crossover on that list.
We're definitely going to have crossover on that one. And our favorite foreign horror movies, which that'll be fun. I was hesitant about that one at first because I didn't know if I would be able to do it. But
then I told Dave that England is a foreign country.
England and Australia are foreign countries, so I'm good. I'm good now.
That's fine.
I had a bunch this week, and I'll have even more next week.
A bunch of stupid Italian movies because that's how I roll.
Yeah, so until then, we hope you've been enjoying October. We love this month. Last year was a lot of fun. This year, I'm enjoying it. Check out our Carrie episode from earlier this week if you want to hear. We did a Friday the 13th episode back in September, so if you want to kind of get a preview of what the Nightmare on Elm Street one might be like, check that one out. But we will see you next week for the actual holiday of Halloween. Until then.
6 more days till Halloween. 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 Keep it up.